For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Please be seated. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus tell a parable about a widow who refused to give up. Her persistence in calling for justice was an act of holy defiance. Jesus told that parable to encourage the disciples and us, to remind them that prayer isn't passive, it's powerful, especially when it comes from longing and desperation of the heart. And this morning, Jesus again tells us a parable about prayer. But this time, his focus is not on persistence. It's on the pitfall of presumptuous prayer. Luke tells us that he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Now, for me, it's always important to notice what Jesus actually says and what he doesn't. They don't actually name who Jesus is talking to. We might assume that he's talking about the Pharisees, his usual scriptural adversaries, but the phrasing that we hear is much broader than that. Even the most faithful, Jesus knew, can fall into self-righteousness, measuring their own worth against others. To make his point, Jesus describes the prayers of two very different people. One, we hear, is a Pharisee, someone who would have been admired, disciplined, devout, and generous. The kind of person we all might aspire to be like one day. And we hear that he prays, "I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I earn. God, thank you that I am not like other people, even like this tax collector." Now, everything he says is true. His life is faithful, yet his prayer slides into comparison, replacing openness with judgment. He stands by himself, both physically and spiritually, isolated in his own sense of certainty. The other we hear is the prayer of a tax collector, someone who would have been despised as a collaborator with the empire, often corrupt, socially shamed. He can't lift his eyes to heaven. He beats his chest and says only, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And yet Jesus says, this man went home justified rather than the other. Now, New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine reminds us the Greek behind the words often translated "rather than" could also mean alongside. Imagine if we heard this parable over and over, sounding this way. This man went home justified alongside the other. This small difference shifts from a simple bad Pharisee, good tax collector story into something that is much more challenging for us, yet hopeful. God's grace is abundant, never zero sum, and is always wide enough to include all who come honestly before God. Mercy is not a contest. It flows both to the devout and to the desperate. The parable's real danger here is not too much devotion, too much piety, being a Pharisee. It is contempt. The Pharisee's prayer begins in thanksgiving, but it ends in measuring and comparing and isolating. Even after thousands of years, this parable continues to make its point. When we hear this parable and silently think to ourselves, thank God I am not like that tax collector, because he does not sound like a good guy. Jesus's mirror finds us every day in small moments. The quiet judgments we make while we scroll through our social media, the assumptions we carry into meetings or interactions with others, the thoughts that silently categorize someone as less serious or less deserving. Presumptuous prayer is rarely loud or malicious. It often hides behind conviction, moral clarity, or a sense of justice. We might not be saying these things out loud, but our hearts have already whispered them. These are the moments that Jesus is telling us to pay attention to and is warning us against. But even in these moments where we miss the mark, mercy is available. In these small moments, mercy flows when we stand in humility before God. The tax collector's prayer is simple and raw, and God meets that honesty. God meets the need of this tax collector. And the Pharisee likewise is invited to release the need to compare himself to others and to receive the exact same mercy. Imagine communities shaped by this kind of grace, a place where one person's devotion supports another person's moment of doubt, where honesty can soften pride, and where mercy flows abundantly instead of us trying to decide who deserves more and who deserves less. In such communities, the rhythm of grace is simple, but as we all know, is never as easy as it sounds. To start this rhythm, we surrender. We lay down comparison and pretense, and we receive, allowing God's mercy to find us. And then we act, moving into the world with humility and compassion. We are invited daily into this rhythm of grace, of praying honestly, living humbly, and acting mercifully. And even though it can be a challenge, don't be afraid to allow yourself to notice your own heart in these quiet moments. When you scroll, when you speak, when you unconsciously find yourself making judgments, ask yourself, am I seeking to prove myself right in this moment? Or am I open to the transformation of grace and mercy? When we pray, do we offer an image of who we think we should be before God? Or do we offer our truest needs? These questions can guide both our prayer and our presence in the world, in our words, in our gestures, and sometimes, most importantly, in our choices. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus did not give us these words as a threat. He gave us these words as a promise. The Pharisee and the tax collector stand before the same God, one who is confident and one who is searching. God's mercy reaches them both, and it reaches all of us and everyone in between. Hopefully, it's not too far of a stretch to imagine God's mercy as a table, wide enough for everyone, the confident and the searching, the devout and the doubtful. Each of us brings something to it, yet the fullness of grace is already prepared for each of us. Every act of honesty, humility, and compassion finds its place here. Like the table we will soon gather around for Eucharist, it is a space of welcome, abundance, and shared nourishment for all. There is no need for anyone to be left out. There is no offering that is too small here, and no heart too burdened to be welcomed. So let us step boldly up to God's table. Let us release our need to compare, our need to judge others. Let us bring our truest selves, our doubts, our longings, our imperfections, and trust that God's mercy and grace truly does meet us here. Let us pray honestly, live humbly, and act mercifully. Let us be a people whose devotion lifts, whose honesty softens, and whose mercy overflows. The kingdom of God is not some far-off place or abstract imagination. It is here in this place with us now. It is at God's table, in our homes, and in our communities. In every small choice to love, and in every choice to receive mercy. So stand before God just as you are. Stand beside others just as they are. And step to God's table. Receive the mercy that is yours and watch it overflow into the world through you. Amen.